For our text, for this message, we will use Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And since we have been studying the fifth commandment in light of the Heidelberg Catechism, we also want to read that, Lord's Day 39. Why don't we read that first? Lord's Day 39. You can find that in the back of our Psalter, page 75. Page 75. Question 104. What does God require in the fifth commandment? Answer. That I show all honor, love, fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. And then we will read Exodus chapter 12, sorry, chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the fifth commandment. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Before we study the fifth commandment, let me give you some preliminary remarks. Let me first address those of you who do not have parents anymore. You are probably here this morning wondering how you can profit from the fifth commandment. Well, even if both of your parents have passed away, the fifth commandment is still relevant and applicable to you. I also want to address those who are, or those who perhaps grew up with abusive parents. Maybe your father or mother abused you physically, verbally, or emotionally when you were still living under your parents' roof. And so you find it hard to listen to the fifth commandment, because the fifth commandment for you is a trauma trigger. It triggers memories of your past when you were mistreated by your own parent. If that's you, I want to say this. First, I am so sorry you had to experience that. Your difficult past is real, and I don't want to dismiss it as we study the fifth commandment. Nowhere in God's word are parents given warrant to abuse their children. And I pray God's redemptive grace will bring healing to you and your family. That being said, I want to encourage you also not to allow your past to hinder you from hearing God's truth as revealed here in the fifth commandment. Also, please avoid painting all parents with the same brush. For instance, do not assume that all parents are like your own parents. It is not healthy to live in constant suspicion or distrust. That because of your past, now you don't trust any parents, even in this church. You constantly live in suspicion and distrust. That whenever you meet a parent, a father, a mother, right away, you are judging that person. Well, he is no different. She is no different from my abusive parent. So please avoid painting all parents with the same brush. Also, avoid listening to God's message with a particular presupposition coming from your past. The tendency of those who grew up with abusive parents is to interpret biblical terms in light of their past. Biblical terms such as authority, parental authority, or submission, parental submission, or even parental discipline. They tend to interpret those biblical terms in light of their past. That is not fair, nor is it healthy for you to do that. For example, we read in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." Now, this is about corporal discipline. Now, the tendency of those who came out of abusive household or with a background that's not, let's say, pleasant, is to overreact to this verse about corporal discipline and unfairly categorize it as abusive or inappropriate discipline. They put a red flag on this. No, this is child abuse. God, no. God is teaching child abuse here. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him, beat your child with a rod. No, that's child abuse. No, please. You are misinterpreting what God says here. Again, you are looking at it with a filter of your past. Don't do that. Hebrews 12, verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." And so we know that God is teaching discipline, parental or corporal discipline, in a controlled, loving, God-glorifying discipline. Some people do the same mistake. Let's say the Armenians, those who put too much emphasis on human responsibility. When they read John Calvin, they do so exaggeratedly. Now, everything that Calvin says becomes hyper-Calvinistic. So they tend to overreact. So don't do that as you listen to God's Word this morning. Avoid going from one extreme to another. If you were excessively disciplined, perhaps now you don't want to exercise discipline in your household. You don't discipline your child. And we see that problem in our society because of permissive parenting. That kind of parenting has produced a generation of children who have no regard for authority, no respect for for elderly people, no respect for parents, for teachers, for police officers, because they overreacted. Maybe some of you came out of a legalistic background. Now, the tendency is for those of you who came out of legalism, maybe you grew up in a family where you had a lot of don'ts. You cannot do this and you cannot do that. And unfortunately, all those principles or don'ts are devoid of the gospel. Worse than that, they are thought to be means for achieving God's favor. That if you do this and that, you're going to receive favor from the Lord. That's legalism. So now your tendency is to overreact, to go from one extreme to another. You now become antinomian. Now you don't want God's law. You want liberty. So please avoid going from one extreme to another. Ask the Lord to help you as you listen to this message. Pray, Lord, please. I know, Lord, I confess that whenever I read the fifth commandment, it triggers the memories of my past. It's so painful. Lord, please help me this morning to listen to what you have to say from your word. So with that in mind, let's study the fifth commandment. God says, honor your father and your mother. Now, the word honor here comes from the Hebrew word that can be translated as make heavy. And so we can read the fifth commandment in this way. Make your father and your mother heavy. Not literally, of course, but figuratively. In my Filipino language, we sometimes use the word heavy as slang. For example, if you have accomplished something which is great, I can say to you, ang bigat mo na ngayon, which means you are now heavy. You are now heavy because you have accomplished something that is great. And by that expression, I simply mean you are now a very important person. And therefore, I give you importance. Likewise, our parents are heavy. That is to say, they are of great importance. They are weighty. And so let us give them weight. They are honorable. And therefore, let us give them honor. And that's what I meant when I said, make your parents heavy. Give them honor. And so, as we flesh this out, the fifth commandment, I will give you three points. They will become our guides as we expound this commandment. First, we'll look at some practical ways to honor our parents. Second, we'll consider the promise to those who honor their parents, because there is a promise to those who honor their parents. And finally, the punishment to those who dishonor their parents. So practical ways to honor our parents, promise to those who honor their parents, and punishment to those who dishonor their parents. So first of all, practical ways to honor our parents. Well, first of all, and this is obvious, respect your father and your mother. Remember, our parents are heavy, worthy of respect. And that's why we should not treat our parents lightly. In Leviticus 19, verses 2 and 3, the Lord talks to Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear everyone. Ye shall fear his mother and his father. Now, what does it mean to fear your father and your mother? Well, the word fear here in Leviticus 19, verses 2 and 3, also appears in Psalm 112, verse 1, and it appears in reference to God. Let me read that. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. And so the Israelites were God's covenant people, and God was their covenant father. And they were to fear God as their father. In what way? To give God honor. As we read in Malachi 1 verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, God says, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? You see, in this context, the word honor and the word fear are used interchangeably. God is saying, I am your father. You are my children. People of Israel, you are my covenant children. I am your covenant father. Where is my honor? You're not giving it to me. God demanded honor from His covenant children. And God also commanded the Israelite children to show reverence to their earthly parents. And so whenever they obey their parents, they reflect this relationship between God and Israel. And when they do not respect their parents, they do not reflect this kind of relationship. And so honor your father and mother. Address them respectfully. Boys and girls, when you ask something from your mom or from your dad, say please. Don't talk to your father or mother in the same way that you talk to your peers or to your friends. Give me that. I want it. No. Please. Mom, can you please pass that to me? Dad, can you please? Speak to them respectfully. Respect their godly advice. Remember, they have more experience than you do. Yes, young people, you may know more about computer or technology, but that does not make you wiser than your parents. Yes, your parents are not perfect. There are times that you may have to disagree with them, but if you disagree with your parents, do it respectfully. Second way, so respect them. Second way, obey them. Interestingly, when Paul cites the fifth commandment in Ephesians chapter 6, he begins by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So now the apostle Paul is putting more emphasis on obedience, whereas in the original command, the emphasis is on honor. Honor your father and mother. Now, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord. What does it mean? Well, submit to their authority, because God has given your parents over you. And so to disobey our parents is really to disobey our God. We need to humbly submit to our parents' counsel, correction, discipline, and even instruction. Now, of course, our obedience, and this is very important, I don't want you to miss this, please listen carefully. Our obedience to our parents is qualified by the phrase, in the Lord. Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That means if our parents ask us to do something that will dishonor and displease the Lord, then we have the right to say, Dad, Mom, I love you, but I cannot do this in good conscience, because to do this will cause me to sin against my heavenly Father. I cannot do that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Now, I still remember when my wife and I went to Australia to visit my dad. As you may know, my father lives in Australia. And we went there for 2 weeks. Now, my father is an atheist. He does not believe in God. So, when we were there, he said to me, "My son, you have 2 weeks here to stay with me. If you want to enjoy your stay here in Australia," he said to me, "set aside your God, just for 2 weeks. Set aside your God and we will have fun together." And I said to him, "Dad, I love you, but I cannot do that. I cannot set aside my God for 2 weeks, even just for a second. I can't do that." He wanted me to stop living as a Christian for 2 weeks so that we could get along well together, because he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't like my God. I had to disobey him because that was not in the Lord. And so, parents, I say this. Yes, the Lord has given you authority over your children. But please, please do not abuse the authority that God has given you over your children. In particular, we fathers should not provoke our children to wrath. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "And you, fathers," although, by the way, addressed specifically to fathers, this is also applicable to mothers, but more especially to us, fathers. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." What Paul is saying is this. Do not mistreat your children sinfully and unjustly. Do not provoke your children to bitterness. Colossians 3 verse 21 says, and this is a similar command, "Fathers, do not provoke your children." Why? "Lest they become discouraged." Discouraged. And I tell you, parents, there are many discouraged children. Why did they become discouraged? Well, in this context, the idea is you are provoking your children to the point of beating them down so hard that your children have lost their respect for you. That's the point of this verse. They get so discouraged because you have beaten them so hard that they have lost their respect, honor for you. And now you want your children to respect you. It's hard for them. It's hard for them because of your abuse and cruelty and injustice. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, lest they become discouraged. And you know what's sad? Usually, I'm not saying all of the children, but usually children who grew up with abusive parents, they became rebellious. Now they don't want to go to church. Now they don't want to worship God. When they think of the name Father, Heavenly Father, God the Father, right away they think of their own earthly father. Turned off to worship. You see, fathers, let us reflect the fatherhood of our God. So that when we open our mouths and correct our children, they will listen to us and they will receive our discipline because they know that our discipline comes from a loving, patient heart. Now let me ask you, when God disciplines you, and we know, as the author of Hebrews says, for whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He disciplines those whom He loves. And so when God disciplines us, it becomes, yes, not always easy, but it's, there's that encouragement that we know that when he gives us this affliction, we know that that affliction comes from a loving hand of our Heavenly Father. So we receive, we listen. But when a father, an earthly father, does not reflect the fatherhood of God, and when he disciplines his children, it becomes hard for the children to receive that discipline because there is no love. Especially when it is done in an abusive way. So yes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But there is that phrase that we need to remember that qualifies our obedience to our parents: in the Lord. And by the way, that means too that whenever we discipline our children, it has to be in the Lord. If at that moment you cannot control your temper, then don't discipline your children. Go to your closet and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so angry. I'm so upset because of what my child did. And I'm afraid that if I discipline him now, I'm going to lose my temper. Go to your closet and wrestle with the Lord. Lord, I want you to please help me, Lord, before I even begin to discipline my child. Because your discipline has to be done in the Lord. In the Lord. Or else your children will become discouraged. You will provoke your children to bitterness and wrath and anger. They will grow up hating you as their parents. Second way to honor our parents: love them. Love them. Think of this. God used our parents for our existence. We depended on our parents for a long time. They took care of us. They fed us. And yes, despite our parents' shortcomings, we should still show love to them. Let's love our parents patiently, as the Heidelberg Catechism says. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. And also, listen now please, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Children, just think about this. When we were babies, our parents were so patient with us, changing our diapers. When we were crying, they were there. And so God is saying, We need to patiently bear with the weaknesses and infirmities of our parents. And finally, support them. So support them. As God enables us, let us support our parents, not just morally or emotionally, but even materially and financially. Now, of course, if you are married, your first priority is the need of your own family. But if you can help your needy parents, do it, because it is also our responsibility to take care of our elderly parents. Paul says to Timothy, honor widows who are really widows. Maybe your parent is now a widow or a widower, and the Lord is blessing you with good health. The Lord has blessed you financially. As God enables you, help your parents. Pray for them, encourage them, help them in their needs. Do it as unto the Lord. Second, let's consider the promise to those who honor their parents. Now, there is a promise. Look at verse 12, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, those who honor their parents will experience a long stay in the land of Canaan, the promised land. The Israelites will enjoy covenant blessings, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the promise obviously is given to the people of Israel. During this time, God has not yet given them the promised land, Canaan. They were just at Mount Sinai. And God says, you honor your parents, you're going to stay long in Canaan. Now, that's quite something, because God did not say you're going to stay there forever, but long in the land of Canaan. But if you disobey your parents, you dishonor your parents, because when you do that, you also dishonor me, and you also dishonor or disobey me, then you will not have a long stay in the promised land. Now, when we go to the New Testament, the version, Paul's version of the fifth commandment is as follows. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So Paul picks that up. He says, this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. So now Paul broadens the application, not just in Canaan, but on the earth, because now it's applicable to us, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we honor our parents, then there is a promise. It's either not true or true, but we believe it is true. But it's not an absolute promise, as I'm going to explain later. It doesn't mean that if you are faithful, you're going to live to be 100 years old. But there is a promise nevertheless, that if we keep the fifth commandment, we are going to live long on the earth. Now, how about those godly children who died in their young age? Well, listen to what someone has said on this matter. Those that in conscience towards God keep this and other of God's commandments, may be sure it shall be well with them, and they shall live as long on the earth as infinite wisdom sees good for them, and what they may seem to be cut short of on earth shall be abundantly made up in eternal life, the heavenly Canaan which God will give them. So there is a promise. But there is also punishment to those who do not honor their parents. And this will lead us to my last point. there is a punishment. We see that, first of all, in the Garden of Eden. Now, remember Adam. Adam, in Luke chapter 3, in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was called the Son of God. Luke 3, verse 23. Jesus, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And then verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam, the son of God. Now, of course, this is debatable in what sense was Adam the son of God. I'm not going to go there. Here you have Adam in the Garden of Eden, son of God. Son of God. And God said to him, really by implication, when God said, do not eat the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Adam, my son, I want you to respect me. I want you to obey me. I want you to love me. And if you do so, you will live long. You will stay in the Garden of Eden. But we all know what Adam did. Adam disobeyed his heavenly father. And what was the punishment? Death. Death. You obey, you live forever. You disobey, you are going to die. Adam died. Adam, the son of God, failed to keep God's law. And therefore, God drove him away from the Garden of Eden. Adam lost, he forfeited that blessing, that beautiful Garden of Eden, because he disobeyed his father. Then we move to Canaan, from the Garden of Eden to Canaan, to the Promised Land. And there we meet Israel. We meet Israel, the people of Israel, called to be collectively the Son of God. As we read in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, listen now please, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. So Israel is called God's son. The people of Israel collectively. God says to Moses, Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my son go. Israel is my son. And yes, God delivered his son, Israel, out of Egypt, and he put Israel in this beautiful promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And you have the same principle there. You obey me, I will bless you, God says to Israel, his son. But you disobey me, you dishonor me, then I will punish you. And we know the story. Israel, God's son, dishonored the Lord. Disobeyed the Lord, and therefore Israel was driven away of this beautiful land of Canaan. And then we encounter another son. So Adam, the son of God. Israel, the son of God. And now on the cross, we meet God's only begotten son. Jesus is the last Adam. Jesus is the new Israel. And here we have Jesus, the Son of God, who honored his Father perfectly. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, he wanted to do the will of his Father. That was his mission, to do the will of his Father. In John chapter 8, we read verses 48 and 49, then the Jews answered and said to Jesus, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon. Imagine, they are accusing Jesus to have a demon. And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. You see, Jesus, He honored His Father. Jesus kept the fifth commandment, honor thy father. And Jesus can say that, I honored my Father. He obeyed His Father even unto death. Philippians 2 verse 8, and being found in appearance, in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Here we have the Son of God who perfectly obeyed His Father. And as Jesus was born under the law, as Galatians 4 verse 4 says, Jesus also honored His earthly parents. He honored Mary, His earthly mother, and He also honored Joseph, His foster father. And so Jesus indeed, He literally kept the fifth commandment. Here's the Son of God who was so faithful. The faithful Son of God. And yet what happened? What happened to this faithful Son of God? What happened? Remember the cry of Jesus. Remember the cry of this perfect, faithful Son. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Isn't it wonderful, and I say it wonderful, really ironic, that here you have a perfect Son who had to be punished. I can see why Adam, the Son of God, had to be punished because he disobeyed his father. I can understand why Israel, the Son of God, had to be driven away from Canaan and be exiled to Babylon and Assyria because Israel disobeyed, dishonored God. But here you have perfect Son, Jesus. The one who kept the law perfectly. Why was He punished? Well, He was punished for your disobedience and my disobedience to the fifth commandment in particular, in this context, in this message. And as a whole, our disobedience to the entire law. So that, you see what Jesus did, two things. He obeyed God's law perfectly. So that through His perfection, we who are by nature imperfect, unrighteous, sinful, may be counted righteous before the Lord. So that when you believe in Jesus, His perfect righteousness will be given to you. So that when God looks at you, what He sees in you now is not your unrighteousness, not your sin, but the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And on that basis, God can justify you. God can declare you righteous as if you had not sinned before, as if you yourself had kept God's law perfectly. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And of course, Jesus also paid the penalty of our iniquity. He died. He died for sinners such as we are. Disobedient, unfaithful children. And so, really, when we obey, and I will end with this, when we obey the fifth commandment, when we honor our father and mother, we do it not merely out of duty, but out of gratitude for what Jesus, the Son of God, has done for us. And this will change our attitude toward the fifth commandment. So now, I'm going to obey my mother. I'm going to honor my mother, my father, to say thank you to what Jesus has done for me. And yes, we all fail. We all fail. We are all disobedient children. But we can always come to this perfect child, perfect Son of God, and say, Please cleanse me from my sin. I have disrespected my mother and my father. Please cleanse me by the power of your blood. And so, obeying the fifth commandment becomes a means for us to glorify the perfect Son of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we have Jesus, the Son of God, who met all the requirements of the fifth commandment. And we thank you that we can always come to him for forgiveness, for healing, for mercy, for grace. Lord, forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.